Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Activity slowed amid a fall in new
orders. Based on hitting a shareholder value. As market capitalization raises, he won't get
any. Going a lot more global, so creating more programming not only for us here in the English-speaking U.S., but elsewhere as well.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio on this beautiful summer afternoon. Welcome to Friday afternoon in the city of Chicago. We will talk a little bit. Well, you're looking for things to do this weekend. I don't know if the Lollapalooza appeals to you, if the tickets are still available, but Front Row Phyllis will be along to talk about that and some art fairs going around in the area as well. We start on Fridays generally with Andrea Haynes. She's the editor for Blue Sky Innovation at the Chicago Tribune and the content editor at Red Eye. Correct, Andrea? Welcome back.
Great to see you, Steve.
Right, content editor? What's the...
It's not exactly that, but you can call it whatever you want. I'll take any title you want to give me.
Is Red Eye all about Lollapalooza this
week? Red Eye's all about Lollapalooza. Tribune's all about Lollapalooza. It's definitely the big happening right now.
So let's talk about that, because along with Lollapalooza was this sort of Think Chicago program that I don't know if it was Mayor Daley or Mayor Emanuel started, but the idea is to lure young minds to Chicago for the music, but also try to keep them in tech jobs in the city, right? How's that going?
Yeah, so it's sort of a recruitment effort, brings a couple hundred promising young students to Chicago to kind of show off our tech scene. And then at the end of that, they get to go to Lolla. So right. It's kind of showcases Chicago, hopefully as an inviting alternative to maybe Silicon Valley, get students coming here.
The idea is, right, that everyone wants to go to Silicon Valley. Why don't you come to Chicago and see what it has to offer? They bring the minds in that way with the idea of going to Lollapalooza afterward.
Yeah.
How are they doing? Are they keeping jobs?
Yeah, so Ali Marotti did a story about that this week. Talked to some people. They don't have numbers. They've had 1,400 students participate so far. And we don't know exactly how many of those have actually wound up working in Chicago. But 40 companies say they've hired people that came, through that program, got a glimpse of the city. And so she talked to some of those people about why they came, how it opened their eyes to maybe being in Chicago instead
of someplace
else. I
like the idea. I hope it's really successful. I'm all for it. But I'm a little skeptical that they don't keep track of the people who've gotten jobs.
Yeah, they should do that, right? It definitely raises, it just looks a little fuzzy when you say how many and they can't give you
does.
An answer,
yeah.
Right?
But 40 companies have hired. And I think it was Uptake and others. They talked about how they do kind of depend on it, invest in it, and it really works for them.
Yeah, it seems like I don't want to say a no-brainer, but it is like it's a beautiful weekend to showcase Chicago and, get a little publicity
okay,
around
so that's,
the tech scene.
That's them coming here. But part of this thing, Chicago, is us going there. Too, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it tries to raise awareness of Chicago outside the city as well.
Okay, so there is that. John Williams talked a lot with, and I think he talked to the CEO of MoviePass in the past. It's a great idea, and it seems as if we are about to become mourners at MoviePass's passing.
Yeah, will MoviePass be one of those sort of iconic stories that flames out, in the tech industry? Maybe. It's definitely struggling. MoviePass offers, you buy a $10 pass for the month and you can go see movies in the theaters.
You'd pay a monthly fee and you could go to as many movies as you wanted, every movie that you wanted, and see each movie as many times as you wanted.
That was the initial concept.
And that's why people signed up.
Yep. Very appealing, right? It's
Why
kind
not?
Of,
yeah.
Free
you go
movies,
to a, you
it
go
feels
to one,
like.
You go to one movie, you've paid for your monthly prescription.
Exactly.
Or subscription.
Exactly.
It depends on how ill you are.
Yes.
And it didn't work out?
The finances kind of haven't worked out, right? So they've been looking at ways to tweak it, which is, of course, making people mad because you
sure.
get them accustomed to this great $10 see-it-all kind of idea, and now it's going to be $15. And they're putting limits on what movies you can see. So the hottest movie that's opening that weekend, you're probably not going to be able to use your movie pass to go see that.
So I don't remember. I knew there was some, they were trying to leverage the movie theater owners, right, into giving them discounts, and the theater owners didn't want to do that? Or what, do you remember all the details?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those ideas that, tech platforms sometimes do, or they say, movie theaters have a problem, right? They've got hours, they need to get people in there. You'd rather have somebody in there buying popcorn and soda than not in there at all.
Right.
Let's figure out a way to do this. But that didn't really work out. They had squabbles with AMC, which
like
then kind of offered its own kind of pass, and the theaters have their own kind of pass programs to some extent already. So it wasn't as seamless as, you might might need it to be.
As I recall, it seemed like the movie theaters almost thought they were being bullied here.
Yeah, it didn't go well in terms of the negotiations with theaters.
And so what, Christopher Robin is out this weekend. Mission Impossible was out last weekend. So if you have a movie pass with the idea that you could see that, now you can't.
They're taking some of those out of there. And, you know, they may figure out a way that maybe you pay an upcharge to see particularly, you know, you have surge pricing right. on
you
the popular movies.
You could buy a ticket. Right.
They're, you know, like many startups, I guess they're kind of struggling to find that spot that's going to work.
And so they've got to pay the movie theaters for the people who go, but they also took out, what, a $5 million loan? So it's in their interest right now for their customers to not go to the movies. So they're trying to make it harder for their customers actually to see shows until they can pay off this $5 million.
Yeah, they're in a weird position. They're burning through a lot of money and need that to stop.
It was at the CEO. I love this quote. "This is no different than other in-home streaming options that often don't carry the latest shows or movies that may be available on other services. For example, you can't ever find Game of Thrones on Netflix." Well, that's logical if you weren't sold the fact that you could go to every movie any day you wanted to.
You literally took the words right out of my mouth. I think if you came out of the gate that way with certain limits around it, maybe people would have accepted that and done the math in their head on how many $10, you know, for $10, how do they get their money's worth if they can't see these premier films? But then to kind of pull the rug out from under
right.
how people think of it is difficult.
So the movie pass needs more customers to sign up. And then they need more of their customers not to go to the movies.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
It's going to be difficult. So
it's like a gym, though, right? You need a lot of people to sign up and pay and never go.
I remember 30 years ago, 25 years ago, I belonged to this Jim Webster Fitness Center, and a friend of mine owned it. And that was in the early days of that. He goes, "I just sign people up. I take an automatic withdrawal, and then I never see them again."
Yeah, I think that's how all gyms, and they probably wouldn't deny it, right? It's just kind of, you're not servicing all the members all the time, or you definitely would not work.
Okay, so Andrea sends me stories every week, and I look over them and see what we're going to talk about, and I'm really worried that in the future I might not have ketchup packs to pour over my French fries.
I know. I always try to give you something sassy to kind of close out our little Friday.
Did you say saucy or sassy?
Saucy under sassy. In this case, both. And this is could be mourning the ketchup packet.
How can that be? That can't be.
Ketchup packet. So, you know, Kraft Heinz, which is based in Chicago, is taking a look at some of its products, including the packets, and also Capri Sun juice pouches, Kraft singles, you know, individually wrapped in plastic.
Well, which is funny.
And looking at ways to, you know, be more environmentally friendly.
So the study says, or the story says, that, you know, you can't recycle that plastic that separates the Kraft cheese singles. You can't really recycle the Kraft cheese singles either, right? They're not really food.
So, well, you know,
maybe we should get rid of that product altogether.
I'm not going to go there. I think that's a classic, right? What melts better than that on a grilled cheese sandwich?
Yeah, but if it's not even called cheese. It's a cheese food.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the ketchup. So these packets are foil and plastic sort of melded, right? And that's what makes it hard to recycle them.
Yeah, and I guess depending on how much fast food you eat at higher quality fast food locations, does everyone even know those packets that are actually dip packets, right? They're like half plastic, half foil, and you can dip in them. They're not necessarily the old school, like,
ones
you tear open.
I'm totally ignorant to this.
Yeah, so these are more like almost a little cup. It's like a little flat cup, and you peel back a foil top, and then you can dip fries in it. It creates a little plastic cup.
And that's what they're trying to get rid of.
It's a little different. And I think that's actually less packaging in some kind of way. You know, who knows?
I was going to ask you about that because, I read in the story that they sort of started using those in 2010 or 2011. I don't know that I've ever seen those.
Yeah, I think I've only seen them at Culver's. Like, you get them at Culver's.
Oh, that's an upscale fast food.
It's upscale fast food. I will say it's a nicer packet. You can also squeeze out of the top of it.
So we're ending here.
But they've got to find an even better way, something that is not plastic.
So we're ending then on an up note, because what you're telling me is even if that foil plastic packet goes away, we still will have the foil packets that we can stomp on and splash people with ketchup.
Oh yeah, that was always fun, right?
So that's not going away.
Yeah.
Andrea Haines, you've helped me go into the weekend.
Excellent.
You very much for that.
Thanks, Steve.
It is 12:21. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Here we are on 720 WGN in the Allstate Skyline studio. In the studio this afternoon is a bedazzled Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network. Tom, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
I can't help but notice that you are dressed to the nines. Is that the phrase? You're looking very nice.
Thank you very much.
Is there a reason for this? What's going on?
I'm going to appear on CNBC for Power Lunch and talk about Jobs Friday.
Oh, good for you. So coming up, what, next hour?
1:15.
Right. So your media appearance, that's a big thing. You
Absolutely.
Dress up. Right.
Yep.
I mean, you're here every Friday. You don't really, I mean.
Well, I have a face made for radio. I also need to clean up.
Well, you know, we are streamed online. That's why I wear this hoodie. So that I look good.
I think you look good every week.
Well, thank you. Tell me more. Okay, so big week for Apple, right?
Yep,
they
huge.
Came out with their earnings were this week.
Their earnings were this week.
And then they passed the $1 trillion in valuation.
Absolutely.
First publicly traded company ever.
Yep.
Well, I would imagine that puts them in the catbird seat.
Yeah, which begs the question to ask, why would anybody who's motivated to make an impact on a company want to work from them?
What?
Yes.
So you say because they're already there,
yeah,
there's
no taking them anywhere? What impact, stepping aside from the C-suite or maybe even one layer below that, the goal of going there aside from job security,
right,
and that they can pay a lot because of the valuation of what they have, if you actually want to make an impact on a business, what impact can one person make on a $1 trillion company?
Okay, so I'm going to go over my priorities for working, and I've got job security, which is really pretty high.
Extremely important.
I've got making a good buck, which is even higher.
Yep.
And making an impact on the company, that's second tier.
Okay. So if you didn't feel that you were helping the company, you would feel really good leaving at night, going home?
If the advertisers
were dropping off?
If I knew I was going to be there forever and I was bringing home coin?
Yeah.
Does this make me, am I just revealing myself as a terrible person?
I don't know. I think, you know, draw the parallel to your personal life and how you'd feel if your wife said to you, you know what, there's stability here, and I know there's going to be food on the table, but I really don't feel any sense of accomplishment or purpose being married to you.
Have you been listening?
You know where I'm going on this, right?
Yeah, I do. I
think the sense is, even
but
if,
you know what I'm saying,
totally.
Too. I mean, yeah.
So it depends on where they are. So in the tech world, are people going after middle-aged people, or are they going after ones right out of college who are learning all the new technology and going crazy?
So we're talking about the Think Chicago, where they bring their kids in for Lollapalooza and try to get tech jobs. Everyone wants to work for Google or Amazon or things like that. So by your analysis, you're saying that the line at the Apple table might be getting shorter.
Well, I'm saying if you really want the best people, there's a reason that the Facebooks and the Apples of the world, they like to do these acquisitions of the small startup, right? Why are they buying a $50 million company or a $100 million company? It's not even for the technology. It's for the talent that works there. So you can't get the people to come work for you. They want to go to the entrepreneurial companies.
Okay.
So you buy the entrepreneurial companies to get them. They live out the length of their contract, and then they go try and do it again. But the sharpest minds in technology usually want to be in a high-growth entrepreneurial company, not a $1 trillion valuation that already owns the market share.
Okay, so let's go back to sort of what we've been dancing around the whole time then. Wouldn't you rather be Apple than a $100 million startup, or would you rather be the $100 million startup?
Well, I mean, it depends who you are, right? Remember, the number capitalism and business school 101. Why do you start a company? What do you do with a company? To increase shareholder value. So yes, to have a company worth more is always positive. When we're looking purely at acquiring talent, if you want the best, sharpest, most aggressive, motivated talent there is, why would they want to go there? I think that's a challenge.
So if you wanted sort of dynamism, you might not be finding it at Apple.
I wouldn't think so. If you wanted to find the sharpest, best young minds, it's usually going to be in the startup community.
Okay. Real quick, jobs report out today. What was the number? I think 157,000.
157,000 new jobs, but a correction for May and June.
Up.
Up.
Yeah.
Right? So really the number, if you average it out, it's probably about 185,000, 190,000 jobs.
So it was less than expected, but not disappointing.
Yeah. You can only place if you have the people, right? I mean, there's a people shortage. For the first time ever, we have more jobs than we have candidates.
I think I saw, too, and I didn't do too much prep because I didn't know we were going to go here, but wages were up 2.7%, which is...
I think it was a little less than that.
A little less than that? Okay, but it was more than it's been.
Yeah, I think we're not going to see... I mean, you know, tell 2.7% to the person that's making $14 an hour,
right?
I think the aspect is we're not going to see wage inflation for quite some time.
Okay, so that's Tom Gimbel from the LaSalle Network. He's going to be on CNBC in about an hour, but he's already said everything he's going to say there, so you should just keep listening
to
the John
Williams
Show.
Keep listening to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business.
Well, have a great weekend.
Thanks.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's what you meant to say, right?
Yeah, I forgot the lunch part. I've already eaten.
On 720 WGN. It is 12:35 here in the Wintrust Business Lunch, the Wintrust Business Lunch sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. We are on 720 WGN on this Friday afternoon. In the studio is Brad Roxalis, who is the president and CEO of Cogentia. And, well, Brad, welcome to the Business Lunch. Bring that mic right up to you.
All right.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Steve. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So I was just telling you off the air, last night, finally, I put a credit card on Apple Pay. You know, I have a new card, and I'm liking it. It's a chip, and it's kind of slow. And people said, well, if you use Apple Pay, it's quicker. So I loaded it up, and then I started reading the different ways that Apple will share my data or might share my data. I'm like, well, this is important. I'm going to read this. And there were maybe 8 bullet points, and after 3, I'm like, I'm sure it'll be fine.
And then you went to sleep.
And then I went to sleep. I would imagine that's sort of the case for most of us, right?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And I think, you know, brands do need to have all of those T's and C's and the terms and conditions
right.
And all of those disclosures. But for the most part, they're relatively benign in that most organizations are looking to use customer information to understand more about who you are and not to use it in a nefarious sort of.
What does Cogentia do?
We are a marketing services firm that uses customer information to drive business results for our clients.
So you're the guy who's taking my data?
We look at a lot of the data that consumers have based on their interactions with the brand.
Did you come in with a profile of me? How much do you know about me?
You know, it's funny. We used to have a little tool that we could do that, and that was even creepy to us.
Yeah.
So we don't have that sort of activity anymore.
But the default is that if people are taking your data or collecting things about you, that's sort of the default mentality is like, this is a bad thing. And I would imagine a guy in your seat is going to make the argument that it's not necessarily a bad thing.
I think that's true. I think, you know, first of all, there's a lot of data that brands can collect about you without you doing anything, without you opting in. So there's a lot of information.
Like what do you mean?
So your sales transactions from a restaurant or a retailer, a lot of that data can be collected and connected to other information they might have about you as a consumer.
Right.
And all of a sudden we can track, you know, the fact that you prefer, let's say we're talking about restaurants, you prefer, certain types of drinks or certain menu items. And marketers use that information to say, okay, if we had a promotion that looked like this, we could connect with you.
When a restaurant's doing that, though, they're not looking at me. They're looking at us, right? They're looking at 500 customers.
That is correct. That is correct. No one is looking at Steve individually.
Right. So they're not going to necessarily tailor something. It's like, oh, Steve tends to be here at 4:30 on Wednesdays, so I'm going to put a special in.
No,
but if there's a crowd that tended to be there, that might have an impact.
That's correct. So what we do is we build algorithms. So we'll collect information, hundreds, thousands of data points.
Every time I hear the word algorithm, I think of eighth grade and how I thought I would never hear that word again. Times have changed.
Yeah, and when we talk to clients, typically they go back to their college statistics course, and then we can see a headache starting in their foreheads as we start to talk.
I'm not qualified. I can't spell it. But I'm sorry.
So we develop the algorithms that tell us that, you know, this person, based on, you know, all these characteristics, some of your demographic information, your types of products you purchase, the daytimes that you're in at a location, they give us some clues. And the algorithm tells us, okay, Steve, you know, he's more likely to come in during, you know, after work for a bar bite.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else who might have more time free because they're retired, or their habits might be that they come in earlier, they might be more attuned to a lunch offer.
And I guess that's what I'm getting at. When a restaurant looks at that data, and I don't mean by individual as in, I guess it would be identity, but they're making decisions down to the individual person, not just by our algorithm shows that on Thursdays we tend to sell more seafood.
Oh, yeah. So this is definitely true. So we would definitely say that Steve should get an offer for bar bites on Thursdays, whereas Jane should probably get a lunch offer to come in during midweek. So the algorithms do get down to that level, and I think what consumers need to realize is that that's probably a benefit for them because the communications they're getting from brands that they like are much more tailored to.
Yeah, but what if we don't want those communications? What if we just – I don't want people to know that I have, you know, goat cheese, melted goat cheese on Wednesdays.
Yeah, so consumers get – or businesses give you the opportunity to opt in through things like an e-club or loyalty program. So from that perspective, when you're sharing that type of information, you should be aware that the reason companies want that information is that they can connect this profile data and now have a way to engage with you through any of those channels.
Okay, so if I don't belong to one of those clubs and just pay for my goat cheese and a credit card because it's what my wife orders... would the restaurant have access to that too, or would be able to discern that as well?
We would know that you have goat cheese. We would know that there's a person related to that, but we may not have any way to contact you. So that might just go into a data bank that says, we know that people like this.
We sell so much goat cheese on a Thursday.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if the company is getting individual information on me with my name, it's because I've opted into a club.
Yeah, for the most part. There are other ways that... in non-restaurant examples where you can, you know, if you're going to an e-commerce site and you need something delivered, they'll have your address, they'll have your email address, and will use that for marketing.
I would imagine a lot of people are hearing this saying, well, I'm never going to join one of those clubs. But that's what you're here to say. You might be sort of biting off your nose despite your face there.
I think so. I think there's a lot of value that brands are looking to provide that is customized. And if you have a one-size-fits-all or you have no way to contact somebody to say, look, this is what we have for you,
right.
I think consumers are missing out on a great opportunity to find the right value prop that a business is looking to offer.
And it's funny. I bought a pair of shoes a few weeks ago from a men's clothing store. Where I don't usually shop, and I don't recall giving them my email address, but somehow they now are inundating me with emails. So maybe I did give them my email address. I don't know, but they're not offering.
Well, or if you give them if they get your name, they ask for your name and your zip code, they can use that to find you and
find my email address.
Yeah, there's other ways that the data. Infrastructure works that can match some of this, but it requires getting some information.
Interesting. So the thing is, I'm getting so many emails from them, and they're not offering me anything.
Yeah.
So it's starting to bug me.
Yeah.
Right? I don't mind. I get stuff from The Gap all the time. I'm kind of tired of it, but at least they're offering me a deal. So as a marketer, as a guy who's advising these companies, there's got to be sort of a fine line of when you can prod someone or when you have to leave them alone.
Very much so. In fact, that's one of the key things we preach with our clients is as they're looking at the amount of email they're sending, the amount of even mobile app pushes sending out those notifications, that if you're not seeing a response from a consumer, if you're not seeing them engage, you need to decrease your frequency a little bit, or maybe even ask them, hey, do you want to continue to receive these communications? You need to respect the consumer at all times in your communications.
And we're talking to Brad Roxalis, who is the president and CEO of Cogencia. So when you go to a cocktail party, do you tell people what you do?
Absolutely.
You have no problem with that?
No.
I mean, you shouldn't. I'm just giving you a hard time a little bit, but...
I was going to say, I think people are interested to know what brands are doing, and I think brands are looking to provide better value for their customers, and they can't do that if they don't have that knowledge of who their customers are and what their preferences are.
It's a different form of advertising, right?
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of finding the right level of doing it.
That's right.
What should people never share when it comes to their data?
Never share anything that I would consider to be extremely private and personal, like a driver's license number, social security number. I probably wouldn't, if someone asked me, hey, do you have kids under the age of 10 and what are their names and genders and everything, I wouldn't share anything that gets into that
Because of the children and...
children privacy, child's privacy laws. But also, I don't think brands need that information for anything unless, you know, for some reason it's a child's clothing store. But even then, I think I would be very careful with that level of information. But things like your email address, things like your home address, like that is a little...
I don't know if I'm a defeatist or what exactly it is, but I just kind of figure it's out there now. I mean, you know, this is where we live. This data is available.
Yeah.
We might as well swim in the water.
Well, and as long as consumers realize that brands truly are looking to just market better and build more customized guest experiences and customer engagement experiences, I think there's probably not a lot to worry about.
Brad Roxalis is the president and CEO of Cogencia. Thanks for coming by.
Great. Thank you, Steve.
You have to come back again, okay?
We'd love to.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. 10 years ago, if you would have said that we would have been making important life decisions by finding a relationship with a swipe to the left or right on a piece of technology, we probably would have thought you were crazy. But making the decision on which restaurant to eat at by swiping left or right might make a little more sense. Sugar is a new app that helps you find a restaurant to eat at by asking you 10 questions. It'll give you all the options in your area, and you can start swiping like crazy. And the chance of you finding a spot is pretty good, because there are about 10,000 Chicago area restaurants on the app at the moment. But if you enjoy a nice early bird dinner like myself, so you have plenty of time to enjoy the rest of the night, then 1871 might be able to help you out with some upcoming events. The Incubator is hosting a youth entrepreneur event for 6th to 12th graders with the Young Entrepreneurs Academy cohort. And if you're looking to stay ahead of the tech space, check out the Google Cloud Next event featuring GDG Chicago. The first event starts Tuesday the 7th at 5:30 and the Cloud event soon after at 6 p.m. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
It's 12:53 now on the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. On the phone line is Front Row Phyllis to talk about what's going on this weekend. Phyllis, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you? We played a little bit there of Marshall Tucker Band, which I think is a highlight for me on your list of things to do this weekend.
So you're going to head over there tonight, right? Over at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park?
It's kind of funny. I think I only like the backup bands because a few weeks ago you were talking about Boz Scaggs opening for, I don't remember who he opened for at Wrigley Field.
He opened for Jimmy Buffett,
Jimmy Buffett. And so then I just bought Boz Scaggs tickets for later this fall. So maybe Marshall Tucker Band will be coming back on its own because I don't really want to see Lynyrd Skynyrd.
You don't, well, you know, it is their final tour. That's what they are calling it. Lynyrd Skynyrd, along with 38 Special, which is going to be great. And like you said, Marshall Tucker Band, and they're all going to be over tonight at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. And Lynyrd Skynyrd, they are calling it their final tour. They actually just said in a recent interview that it's hard to imagine that after all these years, the band that started in Jacksonville would resonate for all this time with so many new generations of fans.
Well, they have survived a lot, and I still probably will never have seen them play in concert, but that's okay for me.
okay.
I see you just in the middle of Lollapalooza, spending the whole weekend there. Is that the case?
It's going to be a very hot weekend, right? 90s for the next couple days. And, yep, we got 3 days starting tonight. Yesterday opened. And then today through Sunday, we have over 170 artists, 8 stages. Everybody, you know, Bruno Mars is there tonight. Khalid was there last night. Camila Cabello, Walk the Moon. The Weeknd's going to be there tomorrow evening. Jack White. And so many more. Plus, also, for the kids and for people that have younger kids, there's a Kids-a-Palooza.
Yeah,
I
think Justin Roberts was in earlier this week, was on with Justin Kaufman, or maybe last week. He's playing at Kid-Palooza. Tell me about this Made in Chicago Festival at Plumbers Hall.
So this happens twice a year, and this is really, really great. So it happens during the holiday season, so they have like a holiday market, and then it happens in the summer. And what's so wonderful, it's all local talent. Yeah, get together. It's over at Plumbers Hall. It runs on Sunday from 11 to 5, and everything's made in Chicago, which is so wonderful. It really is. It's everything from, you're going to see everything from jewelry to art. There's different food and beverage, vendors that come out.
So
and,
this is kind of like that one-of-a-kind festival, but it's of Chicago goods.
Yeah, yep.
Right? So, is it called the one-of-a-kind thing, right? That's the thing over the holidays?
That's over the holidays, yeah.
Okay. One more, the Glenview Art Fair?
Yeah, I know you're going to be over there. That is this weekend on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5 over in the Glen. And I love this one. You know, I have to tell you, last week I got caught at the Glencoe, and I spent way too much money.
Nice.
But you know what's so great about these festivals? I mean, there's over 185 artists, from paintings to photography to jewelry. And you get things that you would never see anywhere else. So you definitely want to check it out. And what's really great about this one is they're going to have live performances from some of the cast members that are performing right now at the Marriott Theater.
Oh, excellent. Well, so, it's going to be a nice summer weekend. More information at frontrowphyllis.com, right?
You got it.
All right. Have a great time.
You too.